Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast. Whether you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one, we're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road until you run out of space for stamps in your passport. This time I'm sending you my regards from Minsk, the capital of Belarus. So I'm sitting here in a giant public park in the outskirts of the city recording this episode. I just got here, so I don't have a lot of real impressions of Belarus and Minsk. I would just say it looks like a really interesting place, and it doesn't have almost no tourists. I guess that one of the reasons is that most countries need a visa to get to Belarus, which can get a little bit pricey. And there are a few other bureaucracies, such as registering with the local police and so on and so on. Once you're done with those, it's pretty worthwhile, fun, and very non-expensive. So do consider it as a destination. I'm now studying Russian, by the way, so that's another reason for being here. And yeah, today's episode is gonna be about not such a fun topic, which is recently the case with this podcast, but that's okay. We're here to provide you with a little bit of relevant and practical information as well. So the topic of today is gonna be all about what to do when you get sick on the road while traveling. So I think that after 5 years of traveling extensively, even more than 5 years, you're bound to get sick while traveling. There's nothing you can do about it, but there are some things that you can do to prepare in advance and to manage it while you have it. So let's jump right into it. Enjoy. Okay, so today's topic is gonna be actually divided into three little topics that are all about health and traveling. So the first one would be the necessary steps that you have to do to prepare to being sick while traveling. Some of the steps that are kind of a must and are recommended, so we'll go over that. Later on, we're gonna discuss on how to prevent most of the potential medical problems and injuries while traveling. Prevention is the best treatment for everything, actually. And we're gonna continue to management of medical conditions as they happen while traveling. They will happen. So at some point, you're just gonna have to deal with them while they're gonna happen. So we're basically discussing again the preparations, the prevention, and the management. So that's pretty much all that is related to this topic, I hope. And let's start with preparation for being sick while traveling. But you know what, before we do, I'll just say that being sick is one of the most frightening things that can happen, and it is usually associated with why you would like to have family and good friends and so on and so on. And it's all true. It is some kind of maybe one of our low points in life is being sick. And it is true that one of the fear of solo travelers more than anything is getting sick alone on the road. However, it is manageable. A lot of it has to do on the emotional side, on your attitude as well, and the way you look at it, as in you shouldn't panic while it happens and you should accept it as part of life. And that has to do also for people who are not traveling. I guess that we all have our expiration date, and until then we're all gonna have some glitches in the system. So taking it into account is important, especially if you're traveling and especially if you're alone. Okay, so after this encouraging introduction that gave you a lot of motivation, we will now move on to the preparation of being sick while traveling. Let's start with the first one, which is basically get on the road well. So the idea over here is simple. When you're traveling, it's sometimes a little bit difficult to get medical advice and so on and deal with situations. The easiest place where you can deal with medical situations is pretty much your home base, your home. That's where you're registered with your HMO, and that's where you have your doctor and so on and so on, and you don't need insurance and so on and so on. So the idea over here is to make the best out of each stay at your home to deal with medical situations that are happening currently and that might happen in the future. So basically what I do when I go back to my home base in Israel is basically to do some health checks and blood tests. So even though the recommended frequency for those tests is once every 2 or 3 years, I'm actually doing them once every year because specifically in my case, I want to be sure before going on the road that I'm okay and I'm prepared for it. Other things you might want to take into account and prepare for is your teeth situation, dentals and so on, which are also good to take care of in home. Although I have to say here as a small remark that if you do need to undergo some kind of a dental procedure, there is now dental tourism to countries like Romania or the Ukraine or Croatia because it's going to be a lot cheaper there. So you might want to consider if you do have a medical situation with your teeth to actually undergo the procedure in low-cost countries. If you have a good recommendation of a great doctor, it's probably going to cost a lot less. But other than that, on dental emergencies and so on, try to take care of them at home. The idea is to go to your doctor at home and basically bring all the topics that bothered you in the last 4 years. I actually have a list of questions, you know, and that's for a very clear reason. Most people are not traveling. They can allow themselves to ignore symptoms until they know that they have some kind of a situation. We as travelers should be well informed and should bring up anything that might be relevant as we visit our doctor at home, because we're simply going to be on the road in other countries for the next few months. So it makes a lot of sense to investigate further at your own base with your own doctor. Okay, moving on to the next preparation tip, which is equip yourself. So I would recommend that you use your time at home to re-equip on the most important medicines. So we're talking antibiotics in case something goes wrong out and you need something quick, diarrhea pills, etc. That has to be together with your doctor. You just sit with your doctor and you kind of try to figure out what situations are most common and what are the most common medical prescriptions that you can get from them. So basically it's all about, you know, usually it's stomach pain and maybe height disease and so on, and antibiotics. So it also has to do a lot with where you're traveling to. So for example, if you're going to go to India, taking pills for diarrhea is very, very relevant. If you're going for Europe, maybe a little bit less. So also adjust and re-equip, taking into consideration what are the most common medical situation in the destination you're traveling to. I also recommend trying to get a standard first aid kit and know how to use it if you can. It's always helpful to have some gadgets to deal with situations as they happen. Moving on to vaccinations and prior research. So I think it's always good to get informed in advance about the specific health hazards in your destination. You want to research the malaria situation, dengue fever, and so on. And prepare in advance with both medicines, as we discussed before, and vaccinations as well. You should also maybe adjust your travel itinerary based on the risks. And because, you know, for example, dengue fever and malaria are caused by mosquitoes and they're more common in specific months of the year. So if you're flexible, it might be a good idea to do those adjustments over there. Now, as for vaccinations, this one is incredibly important. Some of the most horrific diseases out there can be prevented by vaccination. So you basically want to check what are the necessary vaccines that you need to get for your destination and so on. And of course, make the time into getting those vaccines. Usually you could either consult with your own doctor at home or go to a specific travel clinic at your country where they're going to have a little bit more information. Some of the vaccinations actually require a follow-up a month after. So make sure you have the time and start with the process as soon as you can. I also recommend reading some relevant resources about the destination and the health hazards there. One thing that comes to mind is a site called CDC. I think it's .gov. And the CDC is basically giving you all the health hazards and the necessary vaccinations per destination. So I will just end this topic and say that also sometimes vaccination and proof of vaccination is required when you travel to a country. In Bolivia, for example, they're going to ask you to show your immunization card to show in advance that you were undergoing the vaccinations necessary. So for all good reasons, do get vaccinated. Okay, moving on to the insurance part. So I think it's a no-brainer. Do not leave your home without a travel insurance. You might run into situations where it's going to be a huge expense and you simply don't want money to be one of the things that is under consideration when you're getting treated. So a travel insurance is very important. You want to pick the best hospital when traveling, especially in developing countries. And I would just say that some countries will actually demand to see your insurance at the border and so on. So again, just like the immunization card, one more reason of actually being ready over here. As for the insurance company, try to pick a big one, one that you trust, that you know will cover you. I also always have my insurance policy accessible, either on the iPad or printed, including the phone number I need to call in case of something going wrong, because you don't want to really start searching for your insurance policy when something goes wrong. That's not the best time. So that's a few tips on insurance. Okay, so I'm moving forward to the second topic of this lecture, which is basically the steps you need to take to prevent being sick or injured on the road. So let's move to the first one, which is the most common one, food and drink. So over here, be always sure to sit in clean restaurants. I recommend places that are packed with locals, because locals know the best and care about health as well. It's an indicator of high quality. And empty restaurant, try to avoid. They either show that there is some kind of an hygiene problem, or they show that they're overpriced, and both are bad, as you know. So try avoiding those. Also, I recommend to switch to mineral water in developing countries. That goes without saying. Water is one of the worst contaminators if they're not clean. And also be aware of the risk of having water in your food. For example, in India, you might even want people to cook with mineral water and not with tap water, because there are some issues with the water there. I have on the site, on the article that is related to this topic on becomenomad.com, an infographic about where water is safe to drink around the world, so do check it out. Let's move on to some general health prevention recommendation. So the first one is to practice safe sex. One more would be to be aware that some people are very, very sensitive to height disease in places that are above 2,000 meters. So if you're going to a place that is high, take into account that you might need some time to for acclimatization and for a slow ascent. So you might not want to go high all the way, let's say, in La Paz, or maybe you want to stop in a place that is a little bit lower in Bolivia and then continue to La Paz or Potosí, because those could really be shockers. So get to know yourself and don't challenge yourself without knowing your own resistance first. On height, by the way, it's all about taking it easy and slow and ascending gradually. Okay, moving on to avoiding injuries. So over here, what you want to do is basically try not to wander at the streets drunk at night. That can bring you to bad places, especially if the crime rate is high. If you are facing a situation of a robbery, of a violent robbery, do not resist, simply give up. Which is very important. You want to choose the best transportation companies available when traveling between cities and countries, especially in countries that are prone to accidents. For example, Peru comes to mind with high accident rate. So over here, don't save, go for the good ones. I think that when you experiment with extreme sports such as paragliding, rafting, and so on, you want to choose the best service provider and happily pay the premium for a very good service provider that gives them a little bit more margins to prepare for safety issues and good quality of equipment and so on. So try not to save money over here. I would also suggest to avoid risky situations. You know, in general, there is a saying that when you look for trouble, trouble finds you. So simply don't look for trouble. Okay, moving on to a topic that is one more item in our list of prevention. This is basically the healthy lifestyle. So especially if you're traveling long term, you want to exercise, you want to keep yourself fit, you want to eat nutritional food based on vegetables and fruits mostly, and then you'll be a lot less prone to injuries and sickness. So if you can, go for a swim, go for a run, do a lot of walking every day and so on and so on, climb up the stairs. So it's a combination over here of both exercise and good quality of food. You know, your body in the end is like a car. So if you don't want your car to break down on the road, which we're all on the road, treat it well and maintain it well. Okay, so moving on to the last section, which is basically managing with sickness. You got it. What can you do? So the first thing I would advise is to be aware to your body and to the symptoms when those happen. So in case you're starting to feel bad, don't just ignore it and hope for the best. Try to check a few medical forums, Google for the symptoms and so on and so on. So you can get better decisions if needed from a place of knowing maybe even what do your symptoms imply and what exactly do you have. Now, in a place where this is especially relevant when the communication with the doctors is difficult, let's say they don't speak amazing English or the quality of doctors is not that high, so being prepared on your own is a bonus. I would say as a side note that maybe many of the pharmacists who work in pharmacies are actually, they're usually young, they usually have great English and they're studying medicine. So when I have a situation happening, before jumping on and trying to get a doctor, usually I visit a few pharmacies. Just tell them a little bit about my situation, get some recommendations. Some of them are going to be amazingly smiley and helpful. Some are going to be a lot less, but it's worth a shot. So let's move on to the second part of this, let's say, topic of managing your illness, which is find a good hospital and doctor. So what I do usually, even before I get sick, if I know that I stay in a place for a long time, I try to find the best hospital. So at least I know the name, so I don't have to look for it when I'm dealing with the situation. I'm also, when a situation happens, I'm asking locals for their recommendation. It's good to get a recommendation and a referral from a local, because I have to tell you that as tourists, the health industry in some countries sees us as walking wallets, and there are specific tourist clinics and so on that will charge you a lot of money. So the idea here is that if you have a reference from your friend or from a local friend, then they validate the doctor, not only validate the doctor, but also can make an introduction, and that will result in less inflated tariffs for the treatment. So that's for that. The next one would be work with your insurance company and doctor at home. So what I do, or what I recommend doing, is to talk with your insurance company about which hospital and doctor to choose. I try to get some phone consultation. Actually, those companies usually have a hotline with some doctors even present at the hotline, so you can maybe get some initial diagnosis or even treatment, or let's say prescriptions for the things that you need and so on and so on, so you get a little bit well informed. And make sure to also connect your clinic or your hospital with your insurance company if you're going to undergo a procedure. You need to keep record of all your bills and receipts in order to get reimbursed. This is important because usually you're going to be the one paying, and your insurance company is only going to reimburse you when you actually get to your country. One more thing that is useful and I totally recommend is to call your family doctor from outside of your country, at your country, tell them about your situation. The reason is that your doctor at home knows you best, and they know your history and so on and so on. So if you can be in a situation that, for example, before you travel, you talk with your doctor and tell them, hello doctor, can I give you a call if something goes wrong? They will either give you their number or give you the secretary number so she can transfer you at the case of need. Again, they know your history, so it makes a lot of sense to have their number as well. I will say that some HMOs and actually some private services also allow you to have video conference with doctor. This is a paid service usually. And the idea over here is that you make video calls with doctors and they tell you more or less what is wrong and what you should do next. So that might be a trend that will probably only keep on developing when holograms go into our lives. So a few more tips about managing a sickness as it happens. First of all, give yourself a break. It's a good idea to take it easy when you are starting to feel the symptoms of being sick. Don't work. Don't spare money on medicine. Buy the best medicine. Get great food. Get good accommodation. You don't want to worry about other things as you develop and go through a sickness. And you might even want to call a local doctor to visit you at home if you feel very weak and willing to spend the extra money. Okay, so one more tip would be to avoid unnecessary travel. So travel wears you down. So where you're starting to feel a little bit sick and so on, just don't travel. Even cancel your ticket. Give yourself a few days to relax. Other than that, I would have to say that if you have a crazy flu or you're coughing like crazy and so on and so on, then it's also unfair to the people traveling with you in this closed bus to share a bus with you. So if you can, just delay travel, unless you're traveling for medical reasons. For example, there are doctors in the city you're traveling to and so on, and then do go. One more thing that is important is to rely on others that you trust. So, you know, the importance of having friends while traveling is critical, not only for the materialistic gains, but also for the emotional gains of having someone with you and not feeling lonely. We've talked about this. The people that you meet are probably going to be a lot more important than the places that you visit. And this also connects to this point of when you're sick, if you have really good friends at your let's say at your destination where you travel, where you currently are, it's going to make life so much easier for you, because being sick involves a lot of administration, making phone calls, finding doctors, and also taking care of you, for example, with food and so on, if you're weak and so on. So the idea over here is to get really, really good friends if you can, that can also cover you if something goes wrong. So just one more very good reason to double down your efforts on making friends as you travel and have people who care about you in each place you stay. And if you don't have friends, no worries. You're just gonna have to be a little bit strong emotionally and ride through your sickness, and that's also okay. What I do recommend is to have some remote contacts to know about your situation, that you're sick, for example, your brother or your sister or your parents, so they can check up on you, you know, give you a call once a day, advise you, but you need to pick someone that is not panic oriented, of course. So maybe your brother comes into mind. Those Skype calls are very, very valuable, also emotionally, and also to have someone to always keep tabs on you and know where you are in case things deteriorate. The last pointer would be maybe time to go home. So the idea is that if your situation is not getting better and you feel like emotionally and physically that, you know, you can't really deal with the sickness, that might be a really nice time to pack your bags and book a ticket back home. I had it, by the way, a year ago when I was in Croatia. I had a medical situation there, and I was feeling very, very low, both emotionally and physically. And I just said, I'm going home. And I booked a ticket two days after. I was home. I went to my doctor. I took care of my situation. I saw the family. I saw the friends. So sometimes you just have to cut your losses and take a break home, which is always good. So hopefully all those tips were good for you and might be relevant for you as you travel. Again, a lot of it has to do also with the emotional side of taking it easy, not panicking, and taking good and smart decisions as you manage through a situation. And that's basically it. We'll go over more fun topics in the next lectures. Hopefully, have an amazing week. Bye-bye.